and to the verse 1 of the chapter, 2 Kings chapter 5, and beginning our reading just at the verse 1 of the chapter of this portion of God's precious word. 2 Kings chapter 5 and the verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Then going down to verses 14 and 15 of the same chapter, here we read of Naaman dipping himself in the river Jordan. It says in verse 14, "Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. He said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.'" Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse number 15, and a little earlier, please, to 2 Kings chapter 5. And the verse of Scripture I'd like us to think about and to consider this morning for some time is the words of verse 3. And here we have the girl speaking here to her mistress. And she says in verse 3 of 2 Kings chapter 5, "And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" And with God's word open before us, let us pray. Now it must be said, whatever job or task or career we pursue in life, then we need certain credentials and indeed certain qualifications. And you know it is the same with the Christian's service for the Lord. Indeed, the Lord is one who wants His people to serve Him. The Lord is one who wants His people to be a witness for Him. Indeed, one of the very final words that the Lord spoke before He ascended up into heaven and up into glory was to encourage God's people to that end. In Acts 1 and the verse 8, He said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." The Lord wants you and I who are saved to serve Him and to witness for Him in our daily lives. It must be said that if the Christian is to be a faithful witness, then that Christian needs certain credentials, if you like, certain qualifications. And such credentials are outlined for us by the testimony of a little girl whom the Lord uses in this 5th chapter of 2 Kings and the chapter 5. Now in this particular chapter of God's Word, there are 3 principal characters set forth. There is Elisha, the prophet, the servant of God. And then we're also told about Naaman, the Syrian captain, who was a great man, an honourable man, but we're also told that he was a leper. And we're also told in the same chapter how he is miraculously healed and saved by the Lord. But then there is this little maid, this little girl who was used by God to tell Naaman about Elisha and about the Lord's healing power. Now in this chapter, this maid's name isn't given. We don't know any name for her. She's simply referred to in verse 2 as a little maid. No name is given. Nothing is told about her own personal life, so to speak. But we're also told from the chapter that she was separated from her family. By in days of cruel warfare, she had been captured, she had been uprooted from her home, the land of Israel. She had been separated from her loved ones, she had been taken into a foreign land. And there she was to be used as a servant in the home of Naaman, to serve his wife and to serve in the home and amongst the rest of the family of this man called Naaman. However, despite her trying circumstances, we see from the chapter how God has a plan for this girl. God works out His will in her life, and He uses her testimony to bring Naaman to the place of healing and to the place of salvation. Look at verse 3. It says, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." There you have the little girl speaking of Elisha, of God's healing power to her mistress. And then we read in verses 14 and 15 of the healing and the deliverance of Naaman later on. It says, "Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing off of thy servant." There you read how God healed and God helped and God delivered and God saved this man Naaman. It was all through the influence. It was all through the work of this little girl, this little maid. My dear people, this morning our testimony here is a testimony that has many important lessons for every Christian, for every child of God who would seek to be a faithful witness for Christ. The very fact here that God used her, it proves to us that God delights to choose and to use the most unlikeliest of instruments. This little maid was young. She was frail in body. She was small. Yet the Lord takes her up and the Lord uses her. And here you see how the Lord can use the most unlikeliest of people. And you know, this is a truth that is highlighted for us many times in the Bible and in the Scriptures. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and to the verses 26 and 29, you'll read of this, how Paul speaks of this truth as he writes to the church at Corinth. He says there in verses 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." Oh, the Lord takes up the base thing, the weak thing, the thing that is despised in the sight of the world. Perhaps, dear child of God, in the meeting this morning, you feel yourself to be weak. You feel yourself to be frail, as it were. Well, child of God, take encouragement. Take heart today. The Lord is able and the Lord is willing to use you. Use you as His child for His honor and for His glory. This, no doubt, was the truth that the hymn writer realized, for they said, "My master shed his lifeblood, my vassal life to win, he chose me for his service, and gave me power to choose that blessed perfect freedom that I shall never lose." But also as we think of the Lord using this girl this morning, we can say the fact that He used her. Also it teaches that God's work often has small beginnings. Often has small beginnings. You look at verse 2 there of the chapter. Notice how the girl is described. She's described simply as a little maid. She was small. Insignificant. Yet the Lord used her to do a mighty work. The Lord used her to do a powerful work. Christian, always remember this. That little is much when God is in it. My over in the book of Zechariah chapter 4 and the verse number 12 or 10, we're told there not to despise the day of small things. Perhaps you feel, dear child of God, your gifts to be small, your gifts, your talents to be insignificant. Well, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant you may think they may be, God can use your gifts. God can use your talents. You know, it's often the case that large flowing rivers have very, very small beginnings. Some time ago, I remember visiting the start of the River Shannon. The River Shannon is the longest river in Ireland. And it really begins in a little pond of water just in the border of Fermanagh and Leitrim. A large river, yet it has very, very small beginnings. And so it is with many of the rivers across the world. And dear people, it's the same in the work of the Lord. It's the same in the cause of Christ. Oftentimes, God's work, and indeed God's blessing, is accomplished through small beginnings. It is accomplished through people and through individuals that the world despises. That the world would count as insignificant, and that the world would count as naught. Dear believer in Christ this morning, never allow yourself to get into the bondage of thinking that God's work can only be accomplished through large crowds or gatherings or public spectacles. That is not the case. That is far from the case for some of God's greatest works. Some of God's greatest blessings have been accomplished by the ones, by the twos and the threes, and by the small numbers. It is a fact of history that it was two obscure women that the Lord used to influence John Bunyan for Christ and for the things of God. Again, it is a fact of history that God used two other obscure women in history to influence D.L. Moody, that great evangelist, for God and for Christ. God uses the small thing. And then this fact that this girl was used, it proves to us that God can use His people even in the most difficult of situations in life. That they face. You think of this girl. The providence of God had meant that this girl was now separated from her parents, from her home, her family. She was in a heathen land. She had been taken out of the land of her birthright, out of the land of Israel. She was now in a strange land. Yet in this dark situation, in this dark providence, this young girl, this little maid, never stopped following the Lord. My, she remained true to the Lord. She continued to follow on after the Lord, and she continued to allow herself to be used by God, even in a very dark providence that had entered into her life and situation. Dear Christian, child of God, in the meeting this morning, the providential dealings of God in your life may sometimes be very difficult. They may sometimes seem to me to be very dark, the providences of God in the life of His church, in the life of His people. A child of God, don't allow such things to hinder you or to hold you back from following the Savior and to hold you back from going on with God and being used by God. Rather, continue to serve the Lord. No matter how dark as providence may be in your life, always remember this, that God is able to use you as His child in the most difficult and the most trying of situations. What are trials? What are difficulties? Why, they're but opportunities for God to work and for God to bless even in a far greater way. The Apostle Paul could say, when I am weak, then I am strong. Oh, as he writes to the church at Philippi, this is what Paul said about the sufferings and the persecutions that he himself had endured. In Philippians 1, verse 12, he says, "But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul said, even of those dark situations in his life, that God had used them to the furtherance of the gospel, to the extension of the kingdom of God. Does the Bible not tell us in Romans 8 and verse 28, and no doubt Paul was speaking from experience, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose." This little girl in a very dark situation followed the Lord and allowed herself to be used by the Lord. Child of God, may she be an example to you and I when we enter into dark providences and dark situations in our life. Yes, there are many lessons that we can glean here from the fact that God used this girl. There are many lessons. But you know, dear people, the most important lesson of all for God's people here to note is simply the credentials in her own life, the life of this little maid that enabled her to be used by the Lord. And it is those credentials I want us to look at very briefly and simply this morning. Notice first of all with me that this girl had great confidence in God. She had a great confidence in the Lord. Look at verse 3, our text. "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." My, when trouble comes, sometimes the Christian doubts God. Sometimes the Christian gets bitter or gets resentful. But this wasn't so with this little maid. My, such was her confidence in the Lord that here she dares to announce the fact that God could heal and God could restore Naaman to perfect health. This little girl had a great faith in a great God. She had faith in God's power. She had faith in God's compassion and love. Dear Christian, dear child of God, not only are you to trust the Lord for salvation. Yes, we are saved by faith for the forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of a home in heaven. But dear child of God, once you are saved, like this little girl, you are to trust the Lord in every situation, in every circumstance that concerns your daily and personal life as a Christian. Does not the Bible say of the Christian, the just shall live by faith? You read the Gospels and you'll see how the Lord emphasized the need for faith oftentimes in the Gospel. He said in Matthew chapter 9, "According to your faith, be it unto you." He said again in John's Gospel chapter 20, he said, "Be not faithless, but believing." George Muller, that great servant of God, was known as a man who trusted God, a man who relied upon God, a man who believed God's Word, a man who acted in faith upon God's Word. Dear people of God, dear brethren and sisters in Christ, it's important that you and I live by faith. That you and I learn to exercise in our Christian life confidence upon the Lord in every situation. Why, this is vital in all our service for God. If we are to be an effective witness for Christ, if we're to serve God acceptably with godliness and with reverence and with fear, we're to trust in the Lord. The Bible says in the book of the Psalms at all times. I think this was the perception of Oliver Cromwell, for his motto to his soldiers was "Trust in God and keep your powder dry." He encouraged his soldiers to look to the Lord in the midst of the battle. You know, to be good soldiers for Christ, we must trust in the Lord at all times. Yes, faith and confidence in the Lord is something that is vitally important in our witness and in our service for Christ. For if there's one thing that hinders God's people, there's one thing that hinders the child of God, it is unbelief. Unbelief hinders the work of God. Unbelief hinders God's people serving the Lord. Remember what we read of the Lord in Matthew chapter 13 and 58. It says there, "And He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." In the area where He grew up as a child, amongst His own earthly family, the Lord, our Savior, was hindered. Hindered from working. And was because of unbelief. Oh, child of God, follow the example of this little girl in our text this morning. Have faith in God in every situation, and make it your daily prayer to be like that of the disciples who prayed, "Lord, increase our faith." This little girl had a great faith in God. But notice secondly, this little girl had a courageous testimony. She had a courageous testimony. Look again at her text. It says, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." These words that this little girl uses shows to us here that she was bold. She was brave. She was courageous in her witness for the Lord. My, to believe the Lord is one thing, but to announce this fact to others in a strange and a heathen land is quite another thing. She was bold, she was courageous in witnessing for the Lord. And making this courageous testimony for the Lord, this girl overcame the fear of being laughed at. Maybe she could have been laughed at by Naaman or others in the household, yet she overcame that fear and she witnessed for the Lord. She also overcame the fear of maybe having her own testimony misrepresented by others in the household or in the area. Despite every obstacle, this little maid, this little girl, she made a bold witness for her Lord and for her Master. Brethren and sisters in Christ, you and I are to follow her example and witnessing for the Savior. The hymn writer says, "Courage, brother, do not stumble, trust in God, and do the right." And if there's one thing that is needed in every sphere of today's society, it is a bold and a courageous testimony for Christ by the people of God. That is what is needed in our day and generation. You turn in your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 3 in the verse number 15. Look at what Peter says there to the Lord's people. He says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." Here the Word of God says we're to be ready always to give an answer for our faith. We're to be ready always to witness for the Lord. If you turn back again to 2 Timothy and to the chapter 1. And if you look with me just at verses 7 and 8, here you have Paul's advice to Timothy. Timothy was no doubt a man who was fearful, who was maybe of a shy, retiring, quiet personality, didn't like to come to the fore and speak for the Lord. But here Paul is seeking to encourage him to do so. Look at verses 7 and 8 of 2 Timothy 1. Paul says, "For God have not given us the spirit of fear and of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Notice those words, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." That was Paul's advice to Timothy. He wasn't to be ashamed of standing for the Lord and nailing his colours to the mast, as it were, for Christ. How was he to do that? Paul gives him the answer in the very next chapter, in the verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, child of God, follow the example of this young girl. This young girl who had a great confidence in the Lord. This young girl who gave a courageous testimony for the Lord. But notice finally this morning, this young girl had a great compassion for the lost. You look at verse 3 of 2 Kings chapter 5. Notice the words that she uses there in the middle of this verse 3. Says this girl says, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet." Would God the Lord were with the prophet. She didn't here rejoice that her enemy was now dying with leprosy. She didn't say with a certain right name. Rather, you see from the words, she longs his bones for salvation. That he be healed. She says, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet." Child of God, in her compassion here for Naaman's recovery, this little girl is a great example for you and I to follow in her love toward those that are lost and that are perishing in sin, whoever they may be or wherever they may be found. Oh, we need to have a compassion for the lost. You turn with me in your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter 3. And just look at the very last verse of that chapter. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Oh, as we rub shoulders with the unsaved, the ungodly every day, how do we view them? How do we consider them? How do we look upon them? Oh, do we see them as God sees them in His Word? With the wrath of God abiding upon them? Oh, have we a compassion for such? Have we a concern, dear people of God, for our neighbors, our loved ones, our friends who are perishing in sin, who have the wrath of God abiding upon them? Are we concerned? As Matthew Henry said, love is the very essence of life and of Christianity. Remember what Paul said as he wrote to the church at Corinth. He says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." He goes on in the verse 2 to say, if he has not charity, he says, "I am nothing." Paul realized if he hadn't a burden, a concern in his heart and in his soul to reach others for Christ, he said, "I am nothing. No matter what other gifts I have." Study the life of Paul and you'll see that he had a burden. For he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And He was the one with the perfect burden for the unsaved. You read in the Gospel of Mark, he says, "I have compassion on the multitude." Even those who would reject him, he had a compassion, he had a concern. Oh, if you and I are to be good ambassadors for Christ, then surely we must follow the steps of our Master. Does not the Bible say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus"? The hymn writer could say, "I want, dear Lord, a love that feels for all, a deep, strong love that answers every call." Dear people of God, may that be our prayer. May that be our burden. Day by day, as the people of God. And you know, when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, then we'll be moved to pray for the salvation of the unseen. We'll count no sacrifice too great to make so that others can be reached with the gospel. Yes, we'll have a compassion, a burden for those that we meet with day by day to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is mighty to save. This little girl had a great confidence in the Lord. She had great faith. My, she had a great compassion. May we seek by the grace of God to follow her example. Just by way of closing to you in the meeting this morning, we're still on sea. Please understand, my friend, that it is only the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone
that can save you as an individual from your sin and fit you for heaven. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven. Why He left heaven's glory, come down into this world, and why He died upon the cross, why He suffered and bled and died, so that a way of salvation might be opened up and be provided for you to be saved from your sins. You know, if you're to be saved, you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to Him acknowledging your sin, confessing your great need of Him, and trust in Him for salvation. The Bible says, "But now once in the end of the world, He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh friend, if you're not saved, young person, older person in the meeting today, that you might look away by faith to Christ. Know your sins forgiven, pardoned by the blood of Christ, see you from wrath to come, set on the road to heaven. Then by God's grace, like this little girl, you'll be able to serve the Lord and to live for Him day by day. Let us pray.